Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Harish Pandeya. He's the Managing Director at Swift Cargo Private Limited, based in Mumbai, India. First and foremost, Harish, welcome to this interview.
Thank you. Pleasure being here, Bo.
Always good to have a friend from India to be around us. I always start my interviews with the same question. I don't see any reason why to change it. So I will ask you the same. How come you ended up in logistics, Harish? Why are you not in the government or a banker or an accountant?
Well, I tried very hard to be elsewhere, Bo, to be honest. till 2010, I was in a different industry. So I've been through financial services and sales and distribution and the others. So in 2010 is when I really moved into logistics, and I was lucky to learn from a very good team, after coming into this company and taking it over.
Right. So that means you have experience, let's say, outside the logistics field. And now since about 12 years, you are in logistics and you're based permanently in Mumbai, correct?
Yes, I live in Mumbai. That's true. But okay. All of us travel just like you do.
Yeah, of course. That's the way name of the game. Tell me about Swift Cargo. Swift means you do it fast, but what more can you tell me about your company?
Okay. So this company has been in business for 30 years. So it's before my time. The people who founded it, two of them are still around. We have quite an illustrious background. Mm-hmm. One of the co-founders, which is how I came in, is a childhood friend, and he's based in the United States, and he runs the US part of our business. Oh. And his name is Jayant Bharadwaj. Mm-hmm. He's the co-founder of the company. Along with him is another person called Tushar. Tushar Jani was also the co-founder chairman of Blue Dart. And Blue Dart was India's largest courier company, India's largest express delivery company, which got sold to DHL. Uh-huh. So that's the background of the other two, people who are the co-owners of the company.
Right.
Responsibility of running it is largely on me. And, so we have offices in other countries too, but I'll tell you about that later.
Okay. And your coverage in India, India is a big country, and even within your country, people have, I suppose, different mentalities. So you need to be elsewhere. But where are you located right now with your own offices in India?
Yeah, so we have our own offices in 15 cities in India, including Mumbai. We have a large number of people who work, well over 400 people who work in India. Of course, some of our offices are extremely large and some are not as large. But to tell you, all of them have been around for upwards of 15 years.
Okay.
Wow. None of our offices are new. We have tested people. We have people who've contributed over the years, and they are well in charge, and they're experts in the logistics business.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. Because I suppose you are facing the same problem in India as we are also here in Europe. To keep and attract people to the logistics industry, there are so many other things that they want to do now, high tech and Google and whatnot. You know, they have so many other choices now. So keeping the people is a key point also for you, I guess.
Yes, it is. And we have our methods. We try and make things interesting for our people. Our rewards need to be in line. Our online trainings have to be interesting enough so that when new people come in, we take care of them. And we value the vintage of our people. That's one very important thing, including recognizing them often enough.
Okay, fantastic. You mentioned you also have some representations abroad. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So like a typical, logistics and forwarding company, we've had worldwide agents.
Yeah.
And some of our agent relationships are 28, 29 years old.
Okay.
But and therefore, we've always had offices in India and the United States.
Okay.
Our US offices have been in business for 25 years plus.
Right.
But We also now have our own offices and our own people manning it out of Thailand and out of Dubai. So obviously, these were decisions that we took basis the amount of captive cargo that we controlled, number one. And number two, you know, our ability to forecast that we'll be able to manage this as well, if not better than what our agent was able to manage it earlier.
Now it makes sense. Certainly, as we call little Mumbai, I mean Dubai is little India, at least I can say. So it makes sense. You have a great diaspora, and you are everywhere. What are among the specialties that you cover? I believe you also handle project and oversized cargoes, don't you?
Yes. So, you know, one of the things I want to tell you is about our strengths. What we have is a good distribution setup manned by our own people. So we have 103 field salespeople. These are not commissioned agents or freelance employees. These are full-time executives who work in the company. So our contact with customers is pretty deep. In any given month, about 1,900 customers give us business.
Wow.
So our ability to go to them and ask them for additional business across a different vertical to what the basic relationship started with. So he could have started with something like consolidation or LCL cargo or FCL cargo into the US, but we are the ones who ask him about the other vertical, which is break bulk. So we have done project cargo for large companies for whom we've been carrying box business. And we then converted that relationship into pitching for and successfully bagging their project business. That's how we've really progressed this. Our project business has, you know, really we focused on in the last 7 years, I would say.
Okay. That's a very smart move. I mean, you have a customer, why not ask him do well and then ask him for additional business instead of running always after new, develop what you have first and then move on. I think
that's the hanging fruit, yes.
Sounds like a very smart move. I mean, in India, of course, it escapes no one that there are many, many forwarders in India, and the competition must be, let's say, not horrible, but at least very, very tough. How do you make sure to distinguish yourself among the many forwarders that all claim that they are the best? How do you make sure to show that to people?
Sure. I think that's a valid point. I have just two things to say. The world is too large. You cannot say that you're a specialist in about everything my customer needs. So we've been focusing on the India-US trade lane, and we've built our name on that.
Yeah.
And luckily, that's the fastest growing trade lane that we've seen, especially in the last 12 years or 11 years that I've been around. And so number one, it's providence that we've probably ridden that wave. Number two, our focus has remained there so that people do acknowledge that when it comes to US business, especially the export part, though we do a lot of import also from the US, right? They turn to us.
Right.
So I see. That's what we really focus on.
Right. And for India, as it escapes no one that India is a major country, and is also now, it seems, as far as I can read myself too, and you can confirm, India is now getting to grips with the infrastructure of your country. That means people will now hopefully take away production in China and move it to India, because now you can kind of compete head on with the other dragon there. Do you see that Indian business or India is attracting more overseas business for production?
The answer is yes, but I'll also like to tell you why. The government in the last half a dozen years especially has done a couple of very smart things. Earlier, we used to have different segments within the transport industry, where, you know, everything is different. Ports are different, roads are different, for example.
Yeah.
So what the government did was to unify it under a single ministry. So there aren't too many bureaucrats playing around. They're all the same goal. And that really helped and, you know, resulted in, let's say, clear strategies like the the government's initiative on using the waterways across, you know, around India. The cabotage rules were changed. Our infrastructure development includes using our many rivers and waterways, including the mighty Ganges or the Ganga, right, leading it to Calcutta and elsewhere. So there's a lot of red tapism that went away.
Good.
And there's a lot of real-time tracking that happened. For example, the transport minister has a target of so many hundred kilometers per day of roads which are to be built. And so if you drive across India today, it's a very pleasant experience, unlike earlier.
Okay, that's because there was always one thing when people talked to me years ago, oh, India, oh no, the port is okay, but going inland is a problem. So it's really excellent to hear. And I think with the corona way that is being handled in China, which I think is deterring some producers there because it's unpredictable, at least India seems to be open for business big time now, isn't it?
Yeah, luckily the COVID is behind us.
Yeah.
There is no restriction at all. All restrictions have been lifted. While people have learned their lesson and therefore are naturally careful. But yes, India is open for business in every way without restriction.
Okay. And turning back again to the strengths of Swift Cargo, what would you say that you can do project cargo? Basically, you are able to handle both the normal cargo and project cargo, since you mentioned it before. How do you feel the relationship is now with many of the ship owners? It has escaped no one that they have earned too much money in the last couple of years. And their nose has been very high up in the sky. I suppose you've had those problems too to get space, right?
we've all been through that, and I think you worded it right. The nose was up in the air. So if we talk about the leading carriers in the world, or we talk about the specialist carriers, both of them did not have enough time to take our calls, to be honest.
Right.
But the tide has turned. And in the last couple of months, especially, not only does one get calls, but invitations for meetings, including dinners. So it's good to see the turnaround.
So now they have to swing the credit card again to get our business. Yeah, that's at least it makes me hope for the future, because it's been no doubt the ship owners have also, the rates have in some before the COVID were in some reasons unreasonable, very low. But this has been almost too much the pendulum to the total left wing instead of right wing. So, but tell me about when you choose ship owners. I mean, in India, the way you do sales and how you get space for your cargo, do the ship owners normally come to you, or you say they are now starting again to approach you, or how does it work in your country?
So there are two aspects. One is those with whom you already contracted over the year.
Right.
So we have special equipment contracts and we have the basic box contracts. So those you need to fulfill, and those carriers are always in touch with us across different levels within their company. But like if the volume went up during the COVID period for some categories, you know, the management of those firms were not very keen to increase our allocation because they were already sold out.
Right.
So when I mentioned that's the part that has changed.
Yeah.
Now, if we talk about the smaller vessels, right, which is, you know, not amongst the top 10, and these are vessels that you need for special cargo. Actually, our contact with those vessel owners is always through the main brokers that we use. It's not that we keep going back to them.
Right.
So our contacts with the intermediary is also pretty strong over there.
Okay. Yeah, it's there's an old saying in our business, and I guess you agree to that. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And it's very important. Turning on to the development in the ports of India, which ports would you say are the main ones for project cargo and, let's say, project related? Of course, depending on where the project is. But off the bat, what would you say, what are the most important 4 or 5 ports in your country right now?
So it's always been, you know, the focus has been Mumbai, and the focus has been north and west of India,
right.
which has always been through Mumbai. Now right. it is Mumbai as well as Kandla, you know, in Gujarat. These are the ports which do Mumbai as in the old port, because Navasheva is the new port which handles the box business.
Right.
So it's Mumbai port, and it handles a lot of Ro-Ro also, as well as the Kandla port. But if you go south, Chennai has had its own share, and it's still very strong. So these were the traditional ports. The government spent a lot of money developing the east part of India. Earlier, it used to be only Calcutta, and Calcutta is a kind of river port. So it's quite, you know, difficult. But now there are other ports. So if we look at the main ones, I would say that we have, besides Mumbai and Kandla and Ennore in Chennai, we have Paradip, we have Vizag, we have Haldia. These are the East Coast ports which are coming up.
Yes. I've seen those names more and more frequently here. And so in a way, when you say the old saying that Mumbai is the gate to India, in a way, it was the kind of open door and nobody really knew the East. But that's changing now.
Yes.
Okay.
No longer does East India cargo travel all the way, you know, by train or by road into Navasheva or Mumbai to get moved out.
Okay.
They move to ports which are closer to them, you know, Vizag being the furthest, which is more southeast.
Right. If any of our viewers would have cargo into Nepal or even Bhutan, would that be possible to do via India?
Yeah, that's a good question. So India has always been the gateway for Nepal and Bhutan. And it continues to be the gateway.
Okay.
But I want to add something interesting here, that as of, as recent as last month, it was formalized that India would also offer and be a gateway to Bangladesh. So Bangladesh now has, you know, more options for their extensive export cargo, which, you know, instead of going through, you know, the limited spaces or the limited options that they have through Chittagong and elsewhere, they now have access to the Indian ports.
Okay, so what would be the transit port, just to put it in perspective? I mean, to get into Bangladesh, which ports in India would be, let's say, the closest in that case?
So the reason why I told you is all these countries, right, the first two that you mentioned are landlocked. Therefore, roads. Bangladesh has its own port, but it has an extensive land border with India. So it's trucking and railway which gets in their goods. So it's not dependent on their ports.
Okay, I understand. Okay. So that's pretty new, because I don't think many people know that this is now a possibility, because everyone heard about congestion and problems and delays in Chittagong ever so often. So it's not perhaps so efficient there. That's a very interesting news. And you are able to facilitate this if anyone would have such requirement?
Yes, in fact, two of our vice presidents were in Dhaka recently and in Chittagong to speak to people whom we work with there, just as this development was going on. So we have got our fingernails dirty in that, and we really look forward to helping anybody who may want information or actual project on that.
Okay, that's really very, very clear. I like what you say, got the fingernails dirty. I mean, there are many generals hiding behind the computer screen, but sometimes you need to get out there, and I think you're doing right getting out there and actually meeting people on the ground. Very interesting, I must say, Harish, here. How, in your crystal ball, one of my final questions here, how do you see the future? We are soon at the end of 2022, and we are looking into 23, and everyone, if you read the newspapers, we get depressed, so we should not read too many newspapers. But if you look in your crystal ball, how do you see, from a logistics Indian point of view, the situation next year?
The pundits who forecast are currently doomsayers, right? They are saying things are going to get increasingly difficult, but it's not that they've been right in the past. Nobody predicted a black swan event like COVID and how it would impact the logistics industry. It's been a good time for many of us also, while some of us have faced challenges.
Definitely.
So the future as we see it in SWIFT is, I think, we will continue to look at a difficult period for the next couple of quarters. But as the goods clear out of warehouses in the US and Europe, and as things come back to normal, I do not see a prolonged period, personally, of things being low. I see the pendulum swinging once again come second quarter of next year.
Okay, that's very comforting news, and I think most of our viewers certainly will adhere to what you're saying, and we all hope for the same. Excellent, Haris. I enjoyed talking to you, and good and detailed replies in a clear language everyone can understand. So I want formally to say thank you very much for this interview.
Pleasure being with you, Bo, and thank you for the invite.
You are welcome. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor has been the managing director at Swift Cargo Mumbai, India, Mr. Harish Pandeya, a most capable gentleman, and he told us all about Swift and what they can do on an international and Indian scale. So thanks a lot to him. And for all of you out there, please stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.